Thank you, Robin. We're going to be reflecting on the gospel lesson that you just heard read from Mark. Just to admit to you a little bit, though, that I've been feeling a little out of sorts all week. You got a small taste of that when I'm having you stand up before the announcements, right? So thank you for your grace. All right, pastor said stand up. We're going to stand up. And then the grace of our music team saying, no, just sit back down. I don't know if it's because my family's moving back into our house or if it's this time of the season where I just want to connect with family, and you end up having event after event, and you just kind of get pulled in a number of different directions, throw in some life on top of that, and then when you get home, you're just surrounded by stuff that has to be done. I don't even know what day of the week it is. I just know it ends in a Y, right? I'm glad I made it to church today so that we can have an opportunity to reflect. But I've just been feeling a little out of sorts, and the irony is I'm getting ready to talk to you about being prepared. And you can see that there's a question after one of them and an exclamation point after another word. So one way of being prepared or thinking about being prepared might give you a little bit of anxiety. Am I prepared? What's coming next? Question mark. Or we get prepared, which is this idea of a calm confidence. You got this. So church, where are you in the midst of this Advent season with Christmas on our heels? Are you prepared, question mark, or prepared, exclamation point? And I pray that we get an opportunity to reflect on what that looks like in our lives today. Mark is asking the same question of us. When we hear the reading that we get from the Gospel of Mark, he does not waste a single moment. He jumps right in with an attention-grabbing sentence that anybody who reads the words or hears the words should go like, huh, there's something different here. There's something that I need to pay attention to. In Mark chapter 1, verse 1, he basically starts off saying, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then he goes right into a prophecy of Isaiah, and then he introduces us to a guy named John the Baptist. So Mark jumps right into Jesus' earthly ministry to get a point across. Other gospels, we get a genealogy. We get a genealogy in Matthew. In Luke, we get the birth narrative. In John, we get like going all the way back to creation with in the beginning was the word. But in Mark, he jumps in with John the Baptist. And what's different, and what's he getting at? Well, if in the beginning this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then we should be paying attention because Mark is signaling to the audience that I'm talking about the Messiah, the anointed one who has come and will come again. And are you ready? Mark wants to make sure we are prepared. And so he goes in, he says, there's a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Right, and so culturally in that custom, they would recognize, all right, so a king is coming. We need to get the roads cleared and move some mountains and some rubble and make the path straight so there's absolutely no obstacles that get in the way of the king showing up. We can't do that, humanly speaking, the way that Mark is talking about. We're not talking about just some family member showing up for dinner or some dignitary coming into our community. We're talking about God showing up. How do we prepare for that? Sinful human beings through and through that oftentimes turn our back on God, how do we prepare for God's arrival? We can't. We need to be spiritually prepared, and that's where Mark takes us. He takes us all the way with John out into the wilderness. And here we go. So God promises through a prophet Isaiah that a messenger is going to come and prepare a way for a Messiah. He came to make the roads ready and the paths straight. But this is not a public work project. He's not employing MDOT to help him out. He's concerned about our spiritual well-being. John is on the wrong side of the Jordan. He's out in the wilderness. Nobody hangs out in the wilderness. It's not a great place to hang out. Maybe not all that safe. Interestingly enough, though, the wilderness is a place where God does a lot of work as he prepares to do a mighty movement in us, right? He did that with the people of Exodus. He moved them out into the wilderness just before they take them out into the promised land, right? He takes Jesus out into the wilderness before he begins his earthly ministry. Before God does a mighty work, oftentimes we find ourselves in the wilderness. Interesting place called the wilderness. People come from all walks of life in the wilderness out here to hear what John has to say. It doesn't matter their social, economic background, their culture. They head out. And the wilderness is the ultimate leveling field. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, young or old, if you have status or not. John's got a message for you. You're a sinner. You need to repent. Ultimate playing field, leveling field, right? The wilderness has a way of doing that. You're surrounded by stuff. Well, that stuff is meaningless, John's saying. So we need to have our hearts prepared. He preaches a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It's a little bit different than what you saw here. And I'm going to get into that in just a little bit. John's concerned about our repentance. He wants our hearts different. And he's a messenger heralding that Jesus is coming, and we have to have our hearts ready. Repentance is important in our faith traditions. But what is it? Well, our church fathers kind of lay it out this way in our confessions. Philip Melanchthon writes it this way. He says, repentance consists of two parts. One is contrition, basically that we are terrified through the conscience knowing about our sin. We are terrified by our sin. When was the last time we were terrified with our sins? I mean, honestly. When was the last time you lied awake at night knowing that you had done, thought, said, believed, acted in such a way that you pray to the Lord Almighty that nobody ever finds out because they'll see you're a fake, you're a fraud, you're whatever? When's the last time you were terrified by your sins? The beautiful thing is our church fathers and more importantly, Jesus doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us terrified over our sins. So repentance has two parts. It has that come to Jesus moment where we have to repent. We acknowledge that we're sinful. He doesn't leave us there. He gives us the gospel message of forgiveness, the words of absolution. A little later in this worship service, I'll be able to pronounce to you that your sins are forgiven. It's not me doing the work. It's Jesus himself saying your sins are forgiven. It comforts our conscience. It delivers us. It gives us a calm confidence saying, you got this, right? You got this. Folks, every time we gather for worship, do you understand that's what we get to get? It's a gift that we give. We don't come here bringing things to God. God wants you here to receive the gifts, the gift of forgiveness. He wants you to be bathed in that word. He wants you to be bathed in it so much that you can go out refreshed and renewed. It's important that we gather on a regular basis to have our eyes focused on our Savior. We need a Savior. We need to be reminded of the fact that we need to repent. And that's what John's doing in the desert. He's trying to get people to see the severity of their sin and the danger that sin poses for our eternal well-being. He wants to instill sorrow into their hearts. But he doesn't leave them there. He points to the good news that's coming soon. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, we see in other places of Scripture. But here in Mark, he says, listen, it's not me doing the work. There's one who's coming who I can't even stoop down. I'm not worthy to even untie his sandals. He's coming. I'm baptizing you with water, John says. But he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He's going to claim this whole thing. He's going to make it so much more special. You see, John the Baptist, when he's baptizing, it's a ceremonial cleansing. It's basically people coming forward, broken by their sins, saying, I want to live differently. And so there's this ceremony that they go through where they're washed. And then they want to go out in the promise of God and live. But Jesus takes this ceremony and he claims it as his. He makes it special. He gives the Holy Spirit to you and to me. And this is the difference between John's baptism and Jesus' baptism. The baptism that you saw Owen go through. The Holy Spirit descending on the little guy, claiming him as a child of God. Working faith in his heart. Doing away that sinful nature and that one swipe, saying that heart is ready to receive the Holy Spirit. You and I are in a season of preparation, the season called Advent. And it shouldn't take a weirdly dressed guy named John the Baptist to get us to think about what we need to do, or what we get to do, rather, would be a better way to say it. We recognize that sin infects every part of our being, and we want to live differently. And so we need a time of preparation. We need a time of preparation before we get to the Christmas story. Because what meaning would Christmas have if Jesus wasn't a part of it? Right? If you're not bothered by sin, if sin's not a big deal for you, if sin's, whatever, it's a church thing, what meaning does Christmas truly have eternally? Might as well just be Hallmark and Santa and presents and family get-togethers and church traditions and just things that just will all fade away. Mark, John, more importantly, Jesus is concerned about the eternal things. Without repentance, Christmas is meaningless. With repentance, with Jesus, the Holy Spirit working on our hearts, pointing us to a need for a Savior, it makes all the difference in the world. John was preparing people ceremonially, saying, hey, live different. You want to live different. Jesus prepared the way for us to live different. He provided a Holy Spirit, which constantly points us to his saving work. Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose, he's coming back. And we want to be prepared. Is our hearts ready? Absolutely. Where does it start? For us as Lutheran Christians, it ordinarily starts here, where our hearts are cleansed, that Holy Spirit enters in. And I'm gonna share with you from our Lutheran Catechism what we believe about baptism and its blessings. Let me go there with you right now, all right? What benefit does baptism give? Well, it works the forgiveness of sins. It says it rescues from death and the devil. Here's the thing. How many of us are prepared to die? None of us. We pray it doesn't happen. But the truth is it will, because of sin. The wages of sin is death. But God doesn't leave us there. He rescues us from death and the devil. And baptism gives us that blessing. It gives eternal salvation to all who believe the words and promises that God's declaring. You see, it's not water. It's not me. It's Jesus claiming this, doing that good work in the life of the believer. And it says this also, in baptism we are adopted as children of God, we're made one with Christ, we're incorporated into his body, and we continue to receive all the Lord has promised as his holy people. God sets us aside, he prepares our hearts in order to face life with all of its challenges, all of its stuff, all of its craziness. He slows us down, he reminds us of what's important. He reminds us that we are created for him, and we get to live for his glory. So this Advent season, as you reflect on what Jesus did for you, as you get ready to celebrate Christmas, do so with a heart that says, Lord, thank you for coming on my behalf. I need you, Lord. I need you desperately. Thank you for coming on my behalf. Stay focused on our Savior and all the blessings that he provides. As you're made aware of your sin, repent. Turn away from it. You've been truly forgiven by the one that's promised to come, so we get to live differently. Are your hearts ready? Are you prepared? And in Lutheran fashion, silence. All right, we're going to start back over from the beginning. Folks, it's Jesus that does the work. You are prepared. Let no one take that away from you. Jesus died for it. Amen? Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and lives in Christ Jesus. Amen.